edition of the Infinite Loop Cast, where we will talk about stuff. It's me, Dave, and I'm with Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron, I'm feeling a bit discombobulated.
Oh, yes.
We haven't done a show for 2 weeks, and I don't really know what I'm going to be talking about, but how are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I've been all right. I've been playing all the normal games. I need to start playing some new games, or at least different games.
Like what?
Like something different that isn't Elite Minecraft and the other Astroneer and the ones I play all the time. But yeah, I did pick up a few more, and hopefully I'll get around to playing them. But yeah. Because Subnautica came out of Early Access.
Subnautica, this is the one that looks a bit like Abzu.
Yes, yeah, it's a underwater survival game. You crash land on a planet and you have to basically gather resources, craft stuff and build your base out.
Are there sharks?
There are alien-type sharks, yes.
Sorry, there's alien sharks.
Well, there's alien creatures that come and attack you.
I don't know if I really like the sound of this.
Yeah, it's a survival game. So, yeah, you've got to basically build up your weaponry and your survival pieces, like oxygen and flippers and things, so that you can go faster and survive longer. That's the main thing.
It does sound, you know, interesting.
It's great, yeah, and it works
you should have
VR.
Lost me on survival game. Yeah. I'm kind of done with it, but go on. So it's underwater, it's on VR. Does VR work well in it, or is it all a bit...
I don't know, because I couldn't get it to work very well. Because I was using the touch, and I couldn't navigate the menus in the touch. It seemed like it wanted me to use a Vive controller. It's one of those where I think it wanted me to swipe on the trackpad, but I have thumbsticks,
okay.
So even though it was showing me the Oculus controllers, it really had a problem with the thumbsticks. So I really ought to.
What do the thumbsticks mean to do? Like, what is that? Is it
I was just
traditional, like,
to,
move?
I was trying to navigate the menus. I couldn't even get in the game, because I couldn't navigate the menus to get into the game. That's the problem I had.
Okay.
So that was the big problem I had.
Is this the one that was meant to be multiplayer, and then you messaged saying, oh, it's a mod, and it doesn't work very well?
Yeah. So that's it's a bit of an issue. Yeah.
And how survivally is it? Like, is it Rift? Is it what's it called? Rust.
Rust.
Is it Rust?
Well, obviously it's not multiplayer.
No.
But
is it more sort of?
There are levels apparently you can choose. So
okay.
You choose how complicated it is. How bad your survival is. You can do it in creative mode, I think. So you can just ignore all the survival stuff and just dive and go around the ocean. I think you can even turn off the creatures that try and attack you. So.
Oh, that sounds like you've suddenly piqued my interest, Aaron.
So if you maybe there's a way of resetting the controls so they work better on the Rift. I don't know. I just couldn't get the menus to work. It might also be the pure number of controllers I have plugged into the machine. Because I've got the HOTAS, I've got the Xbox One controller, and obviously we've got the Rift controllers. So I've got an awful lot plugged in to the one machine. So we'll see. I'll have another go for next week and see how far I can get. So because I wanted to do some more VR this week. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. I've been collecting the VR things for Oculus Home.
Okay.
Every time you spend a certain amount of time, I don't know how long that is, in VR, it gives you a box, gift box, to open in Home. And when you open that gift box, you get 3 items for your Oculus Home world. Your room, your... And you can decorate your room with all these things. So I opened all my gifts that I got over Christmas for playing various things. And yeah, so I've got some nice pictures on the wall and got some models and things. A little working catapult and things. So there's different levels of items. They don't allow you to share them at the moment.
Is that a thing that's coming, or is that just games design? Like,
I don't know, because obviously it's still in alpha at the moment. It's still in beta, at the moment. So we'll see how it.
Any idea when it's meant to come out?
I don't know. I thought it was quarter one, but I could be wrong. This is the new, because it's the new Dash, isn't it? Oculus Dash contains the new home.
Yes, it does.
So I'm still on the beta branch to get that in. I assume they're going to allow you to trade stuff and maybe sell rares and things in the game.
I've got no idea.
I don't know.
Don't look at me.
So I'm assuming they will, but we'll have to wait till it comes out to see whether they do allow you to trade and gift stuff. Because there are rares, there's golden things, that golden cards that unlock, and those cards then are things inside your world, in your home. You can put on shelves and. The types of shelves and things as well that go in your Oculus home, and backdrops and all sorts of things. It's quite good. I'm quite liking it. I think it's multiplayer as well. The home, isn't it? I think you can invite other people in.
I think you can, but I've never sort of.
Because I've visited Tony's world. I've got a guy on there, Tony. I know from somewhere, I don't know, but I visited his home and had a look around his and I think I might have knocked some of his books over. I don't know whether they stay knocked over, so that might be a bit annoying if you get there and all of a sudden somebody's trashed your place. You can't move any of the standard objects, but it
all snaps back to where it was, doesn't it?
I don't know. No, if I use the golf club and hit a golf ball into a book and that knocks it over, it stays knocked over.
Does it?
Yes.
You can't press a button and everything magic snaps back into place.
No.
Are you sure?
You can hit reset, but that resets it all back to standard.
Right.
But if you've put paintings on the wall and reorganized it, your home, then that could get really annoying if people knock things around and you've organised things. Like you organise your bookshelf to have all your... Because every time you buy a game on the Oculus Store, you get a cartridge that you can put in the game machine in there, and you get a box to put on your shelf.
Okay.
So you can have a shelf full of all the boxes of Oculus games you bought, and then you get a cartridge that you put in the game machine. You got a little game machine that you put on a desk or whatever. If you put the cartridge for the game in the game machine and press the button, that basically boots up the game. So that's a nice way of booting up games from within Oculus Home. So that's quite a fun little thing. And obviously there's target practice, there's golf, there's table tennis, balls, there's fish tanks and all sorts. So it's... There are some interactable things, so there's swords and bows and arrows and laser guns and things, and a little catapult. I've got a little catapult as one of my gifts. It's my bonus things, so that was quite nice.
Is it something that's worth playing?
It's a nice little fun thing. I don't know that it's a game as such, but if you just want to hang out, if you can both hang out in the same home, that might be quite interesting.
So here's the question, right? So that's my point. They're spending all this time creating this thing, but they've also got Facebook Hangouts, and neither of them are games. Like they're not putting effort into games; they're putting effort into social space.
Yeah, hopefully, because they've got the fishing game in the Facebook one, haven't they now?
Are they?
Yes, there's a fishing game in the Facebook space now.
Is it, what's better, the fishing game in the Facebook space, or the putting, like the shoot, let's not do the putting is crap.
The shooting's quite nice.
The shooting thing.
But there's no, the shooting thing is nice to do, but there's no point to it, because there's no score, there's nothing.
What do you mean there's no point? You can shoot things.
Yeah, but you can't shoot much. You can shoot the targets, but then what? It doesn't actually keep score or anything?
Yeah, you seem like a skeptic.
Yeah, I think it could be good. And if
I think it purely trains you in how to shoot in VR.
Yeah, but what I'd like is if they brought Tabletop Simulator into Oculus Home.
So Tabletop Simulator? Oh, that would be nice.
So you could actually have play a game of something on the table in Oculus Home. That would be great if you could both do that.
And yeah,
multiplayer,
that would be
just Tabletop Simulator is great, but it is a bit of a construction. It doesn't feel real. Because you basically, when you're in VR, you're just at a position round a table. And you can't move around that table. You can't do anything. You don't feel as though you're in the world. You feel as though VR is just the interface to the table. And you may as well be in... you may as well just have it on your desktop. You may as well just have it on your monitor. Yes, it's nice in 3D, but it's a bit fiddly to play with. You can't move around to pick up pieces. You have to effectively move them from a distance. So, yeah, it's a bit... It's just not as good as it could be. But we'll see. We'll see how well it...
I feel like...
Spaces do.
It's interesting how Facebook is slowly getting rid of the Oculus branding, I think, in a lot of things.
Yes, they are.
Like, it's slowly becoming Facebook, not... Do you know what I mean?
It is, because... They've got something else, I think they've... I believe there's another Facebook thing coming out soon. I could be wrong. I'm trying to remember now. I thought they announced some other Facebook thing. Is it movies or something?
Oh, it's is it movies? I know they've announced, like, you can do... change. They've created their own unit of time, haven't they?
Well, I don't know.
I think they've created their own unit of time.
Which is a bit odd.
Well, it sounds odd at first, but hear them out. Okay. The reason they've created their own unit of time is because it is divisible by the seconds that a frame needs to be on the screen.
Okay.
Or not it's divisible by the frame length, basically, rather than a specific unit of time.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And apparently it solves a problem. I don't know.
Okay. That's great, but it doesn't match up with electronics and everything else.
Yeah.
The second is an SI unit, so therefore works with everything else.
Yeah, but this is meant just purely for video. So for their idea here is that this will sort out video production.
Yeah, okay. But then you're starting to get the difference between refresh rates and things. Because obviously it hurts. And...
No, that's the thing. So this fixes all of that.
What do you mean it fixes it?
It fixes it.
What, in the fact that they don't use hertz
magic.
For referencing?
I don't know.
Refresh rates, and therefore all your other calculations inside your TV don't work.
Aaron. I've got to be honest. I've got to be honest with you. I switched off.
Okay. I'll have a read about it.
I read the thing, and I was like, oh, that sounds like it could be mildly novel, if that's your thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you start messing with the unit of time you're using to calculate stuff, you have to change the voltage amps and the rest of the units to match.
Okay.
But yes, I'm sure it works in their scenario of video.
Right, do you know what I mean?
But like... when you start then having to translate it then into... units for everything else.
Yes.
it gets a bit more complicated for other people. So it makes their life easier, but complicates things for everyone else. But yes, I'm sure it makes sense to them.
Yeah, exactly. And I, as I said, I just switched off. I stopped caring when I realised it was not something that was ever going to affect me, and that the headline was slightly headline grabby.
Yes, yes, a lot, as a lot of these things are. But yeah, I've been, I also got Rick and Morty. I've been on about it for a while, and I saw it discounted, so I got Rick and Morty. So I booted that up and went, oh, they've just dumped something on the floor, and my sensors don't reach to the floor, so I can't pick it up. So they just were very snarky at me for quite a while I tried to pick something up off the floor that I couldn't.
That's annoying. You have to sort out your sensors.
Yeah, I've just got to reorganise all my sensors for this one game that requires me to touch the floor.
Can you not dangle one, like, from the ceiling?
Yeah, you can. You can affix them to the wall. It's a bit tricky, because you want them fixed. You don't want them dangling, because you don't want them to move. Because that will send your headset a bit weird.
Yeah.
If at some point a sensor starts waving, your whole vision will move. Because it thinks you're moving. Because its point of reference is moving. So, yeah, you don't want it. You want it fixed. And there are brackets that people have found that you can use. There are clips and all sorts. But I've got an angled roof because of the loft space. So that makes it a little more tricky. But what I can do is just move the sensors to the edge of the desk so they can see down. Because the problem is they're set back on the desk. So they've got the desk in the way, so they can't see the floor. That's the problem. So if I move them to the edge of the desk, they can see down and catch the floor, and they'll be all sorted. I just need to reorganise again to get the sensors to the edge of the desk so they can see the floor. I maybe move some of the boxes around, because I have got junk on the floor now from my reorg. So I put a shelf in, a monitor shelf, so I can get stuff underneath the monitors that aren't just boxes holding the monitors up. And redone the lighting and, all sorts of stuff. Playing about. I've now got smart lighting.
Oh. I don't know how to solve that for you, Karen.
Because
you're in the loft, can you not just, like, pull a panel on off? Internal, like remove some insulation and just run it behind the insulation.
No, because it's all panelled. It's tongue and groove panelling all up the loft, all up the wall, the roof space.
I see.
I could just run a cable up the wall, up the slant. I'm just going to have to put tags in to keep it against the. But it's doable. I can even just put it on the edge of the desk, like I said. But it just means reorganising my desk again a little bit. It's not horrendous, and it's doable. I just couldn't be bothered to do it at the time because I just spent ages reorganising the desk in the first place, and went, no, I can't be bothered. I'll do it another time. It's just because it's designed for Vive again. Even though it was on Rift, it came out. Wasn't it originally a Rift game? I can't remember.
Pass. I don't know. No, I don't think it was.
No?
I don't think so. I'm going to go no. Let's move on.
All right. But yes.
I'm saying no.
So they're the VR games I've been playing. And as I say, I've been playing MudRunner. And that was quite fun. You say it's just MudRunner's... It was Spin Tires, originally the game, and they've just released a new game that's effectively the old game, but better. I'm not sure how I feel about it. They're effectively asking you to pay again for the same game, because a lot of the maps are very similar, and the trucks are very similar, and the gameplay is very similar. I can't remember whether the first game had multiplayer, though. But this one definitely does. But we'll see. We'll see how well it does. I'm enjoying playing it anyway. But we'll have to see. I don't know whether... We can't play together unless you buy another copy, I think.
Oh, that's annoying.
I don't know whether you'd want to play it. It's just basically about trying to drive through mud. That's about the whole gameplay, is you driving through mud and through rivers trying to deliver logs. And that's the whole game.
I mean, it's quite a specific concept, isn't it?
It is. But it is quite fun just playing about. And there's workshop support now, so you can actually download and install custom trucks. Don't know whether they do custom mods, but there's definitely loads of trucks that people have done. There's 281 workshop items that seem to be mostly trucks and trailers, and you do get cars, which is a bit weird, but yeah, cars are there to rescue your trucks effectively, because they can deliver repairs or fuel to your trucks if you run out of fuel. So I quite enjoyed the game. So I've not played huge amounts, but it's all right. I want to play some multiplayer, so I just need to find somebody else that has the game.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Aaron. I don't think it's going to be the type of thing.
No, it's quite a specific game. If you want to, play a truck simulator in mud, effectively, we're going down the tree of, you're quite restrictive. People that want to do a truck simulator and do it in mud, but you can't very easily drive on. So.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it's a limited.
It's a limited appeal.
Yeah. I think so. I'm going to divert us from our usual route here. I found possibly the strangest Kickstarter I think ever.
Okay.
I mean, it's not strange in a bad way. It's strange in a good way.
Right.
Do you remember? I mean, did you have a play on the N64?
I did. But
did you have an N64? Were you really keen N64 gamer?
No. I was on PC by then.
So I was. That was probably the console that I sort of lost my mind about. I loved the N64. Like, I used to get the magazines. I used to get everything. And there was a game that was meant to come out for it called 40 Wings.
Okay.
Which was a platformer. And I think it was being developed by the people who did the follow-up to GoldenEye. That wasn't GoldenEye. It wasn't very good. But I think it was them. It may have been THQ. Anyway, it got cancelled for the N64. I think it got released in the end on the PlayStation, but not the N64. Anyway, long and the short, there is a Kickstarter to release it on the N64 cartridge by people who have managed to acquire it.
Acquire it legally?
Yep.
Okay. Because there have been some weird Kickstarters that turned out to be not quite so legit as they claimed to be.
I can see, the developer and publisher focusing on retro gaming. And as far as I can see, they actually own the rights to do this.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I guess for a game from 1998, there can't be that much demand for it in terms of IP.
And as a cartridge, how many working N64 machines are there around?
I don't know, but I'm really tempted to back it.
You don't even have an N64 that you could
play
on.
I've got two N64s.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. But one of them is my N64, that me being a box keeper is in its box with all the packaging, I think in its plastic bag that originally came in with wire ties.
Okay.
And I packed that thing away pristinely, along with my massive collection of N64 games that is all in deep storage for investment/posterity. And then I've got another N64, which my mate was going to throw out when we were about 20.
Okay.
I said, oh, don't throw it out. I'll get it. I really want to play it. And it's just sat in a carry bag at the bottom of my socks drawer. So I have got an N64 that I can use. I haven't got a device that I can plug an N64 into. But I'm assuming that there's adapters and things.
There are. They depends. Depends how much you want to spend on it. Because there are some really poor adapters that you could get that don't do too well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's loads of input lag and things.
I used to have an adapter for my GameCube, but I'm assuming because that was RGB, I could plug that into.
It depends what sort of telly you've got.
I could plug it into my monitor, couldn't I? Into the VGA socket.
Possibly. I've got ones that work. I've got adapters that work, but I don't know whether there's any lag in them. In fact, we've got a CRT downstairs that I can just plug it into. So, you know. There is that.
The other thing I could do is just find a really cheap CRT TV to put it in the loft and put out one I want to play.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Why, are they rare?
They are getting rarer now.
Serious? My colleague at work gave me a TV, my wife threw it out.
Yep. That's why they're getting quite rare. And the tubes are going. Some people are really looking for them as replacements for arcade cabinets. Because
at the moment, I can pick one up on eBay for 99p.
Okay, that's not bad.
Like I could get a 28-inch Sony Triniton Wide. That would have been a lovely TV back in its day.
Oh yeah.
£25. And the Sony ones were meant to be the best, weren't they?
They were quite good, yeah. Yeah. Because I don't know whether we've got Sony downstairs. It's either Sony or Philips. Because we had a Sony and a Philips, and one broke. And I can't remember which one gave up first.
I could get that and I could play Duck Hunt on it.
Yes, because it's CRT, you'd like going to work.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't work if you use LCD. I
do this without Claire realising.
What? You're going to carry a CRT into the house without any...
But that's fine. She works not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. It's a case of her finding this CRT TV as she opens the loft hatch.
Yeah.
Because it would clear, you know, I put it in the Eve storage and she'd open the door. And it's not going to go anywhere, you know, deep in the Eve storage. Or I could go into the Eve storage to play it. I could set up like a hidden gaming den at the end of the Eve storage.
As long as you've got a nice thick board for it to live on.
It's all insulated in there as well. I mean, you can get a Bang & Olufsen TV on here for £60. Mainly because CRT TVs are worthless now, but. God, the world's your oyster. I'm coveting this. Yeah, so that's my weird gaming news for the week. I might be buying an N64 game. Now, the question is, to what level do I go in on this? Because there's obviously two versions. There's going to be the regular cartridge and the special coloured version of the cartridge.
Of course. Why would you not?
And I feel like the coloured version has got the potential to become collectible, hasn't it? Because there's only going to be a couple of thousand of these things ever produced.
It has got the potential. Whether anybody else wants it is the question.
I feel like anyone who wants it will be buying it now.
Yes.
That's my problem. But I am tempted to do the one you get two cartridges. You get the special edition and the regular edition, and I play the regular edition. But keep the special edition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I basically have three. I need a regular edition, a special edition. Two to keep and lock away, and one to play.
That sounds a bit excessive.
Yeah, especially as they're doing the $8 edition, which is a PC version for Steam.
Okay. Yes, because a lot of people would just do that then if they really wanted to play it, but couldn't be bothered. Yep.
Exactly. I'm going to go for the collector's edition.
Okay.
Because that's going to make me happy.
As long as you're not planning on it making you money, then that's fine.
Do you know what, Aaron? I will take the punt on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sort of weird gaming paraphernalia that I would like to own.
Yes. If you're buying it for you, that's fine. As you, if you're buying it as an investment, I don't know.
It's a pretty shaky... Games cartridges in general are quite a shaky investment. The only time that I've done really well was with my Metroid Prime Collector's Trilogy Edition, which is locked away, not in my house. Because it's currently worth, I think, about 180 quid. And that was the last time I checked about a couple of years ago. It just seems to be going up and up and up in value because they didn't make many of them. Should I have a look where it's up to on eBay at the moment? In other words, anyway, I've been playing lots of games, Aaron.
Okay.
Do you want to know what?
Okay. What have you been playing?
Monster Hunter World.
Okay.
Which I think I may have talked about on the last week's show.
I think you might have talked to it on the last show and possibly the show before.
Let's steer around that. It's still at 190 quid, Metroid Prime Trilogy, sealed. Go around that one. So I've been playing
more of that.
Yep,
What are you up to? What?
Oh, I'm not very far at all. Okay, maybe 4 or 5.
Okay. Oh, blimey.
But this is why. You ready for this, Aaron?
Oh, God. Here we go. Yeah?
Really like JRPGs. I've discovered Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on the Switch.
Okay.
And I haven't really been able to play on my PC or Xbox or PS4 or anything else since discovering this.
Because
I just want to play Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Which for now on I'm just going to refer to as Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yes.
It's a JRPG on the Switch, made by Monolith Studios and published by Nintendo, so don't expect to see it anywhere else. I don't even know if Monolith Studios aren't a second-party publisher. Aren't a second-party developer for Nintendo.
I don't know.
Anyway, so it's set in a world where there doesn't seem to be much land, except for the land that's on the back of these giant monsters called Titans.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you float around the cloud sea on your Titan, and stuff happens. You, for various reasons, decide to go on a quest to Elysium, which is the top of the world tree where there's enough land for everybody to live because you want to avoid an impending war.
Okay.
That's probably about as far as I can go into it without starting to get a bit spoilery. People join your party, people leave your party, there's death, there's love, there's weird things. The basic premise of combat in this game is that you have drivers and you have blades. I don't know why they're not called wielders, but basically the drivers are the wielders of the blades,
yes.
But the blades are people as well as weapons.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does to me, but I've seen some of the anime.
Okay. Oh, is there an anime?
Yes.
What are you clicking? Are you playing a clicking game?
Yes, I am playing. Sorry. I am playing a clicking game. I should put it
I was going to... Either that or you're really upvoting someone on Reddit. I didn't realise there was an anime for this.
I believe so. Let me just... Oh, this is obviously dangerous.
I'm Googling.
Oh, no, I'm going to my Funimation thing.
So, basically... So that's the premise, and each blade has different arts. Arts are skills that you can choose to deploy. Combat pretty much just happens on auto. So you auto-attack, and then you can choose to use your arts, your special skills. And then your blade has a super skill that you sort of build up towards using. You can change the power of your art based on the timing at which you use it. So if you use it just after you struck the enemy, you get a little blue bubble that tells you you've done it right, and then your art hits for more and charges up your super more. The other thing that you can do to influence the thing is each of your auto attacks work in a cycle of three, and they build up in power. So depending on which strike in your auto-attack sequence you use your art on, it has a different effect and different sort of boost. So there's quite a lot of depth. And this is only... I'm about 10 hours in. And it's still teaching me things. So I'm really impressed with how it sort of draws it in. So at the beginning of the game, you just have your auto-attacks, right? And you can't do anything else. Then you immediately learn, well, within the first battle, that there are these things called arts. And you develop I've forgotten which one it's called, but basically you fire your hookshot. I think it's called hookshot. You fire your hookshot at the enemy, and you pull out a health pack. And that's how you gain health during battles. You can use that skill.
Okay.
And that sort of sees you through for the vast majority of the game. For, I would say, the first 4 hours. And maybe three. And then you find a blade, and then you learn about blade skills, and then you get all of those. And then another sort of couple of hours later, you then learn the thing about the timing. And then a couple of hours after that, you learn the next thing. And it slowly, slowly builds up to be this whole system where now, in my party, I've got three drivers and obviously three blades. And I've got a tank driver and I've got a tank blade, a healing blade, and a DPS blade. And everyone can switch different blades, and you can augment your blades and do all sorts of fun RPG-ish things to them. But your special, someone else can do like a level 2 special on top of your special, and you can sort of chain your specials. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can create like this ongoing combo of specials and glory and particle effects. And it's a really satisfying, it's really satisfying. And it's I don't know whether it's the Switch or it's the game itself, but I'm really getting sucked into this. And I can see people say it takes between 70 and 160 hours to complete.
That seems a
good spread, right?
That's a good, that's not horrendous, is it? As JLPGs
so the average
go.
No, the average time is 90. I think like really slow people seem to spend more. Like if you try and do everything in the game, then you're at the top end. But I can see myself happily spending 90 hours in this game, happily. The story's good. Like it constantly switches stuff up. Stuff happens that you weren't expecting to happen. It doesn't really treat characters with respect in terms of who stays alive and who stays, I'm not going to go into it. But it doesn't really treat people like valuable to a degree. And it's a really well-crafted game. I'm really impressed with it. The soundtrack's lovely. It's got, I can't remember what they're called. I think they're called Nopons, but they're the crazy little creatures that live in the world that have hands coming out of their heads. One of which is a scientist, and they all say meh. They talk in meh. So if you want to go and buy, I don't know, some carrots, you would say to the Nopon, like, I have to buy your finest carrots, please, Mr. Vendor Nopon. And he goes, meh, meh, you would like to buy carrots, meh. And childishly, that still amuses me. It's great. And it's got a quick travel system that doesn't penalise you for quick travelling. You can just get on with playing the game. You don't have to trek around the world if you don't want to. You can just...
get there in the first place?
Yes, you've got to discover it in the first place. Okay. As far as I know, maybe you've just got to discover the continent. But it does tell you how you do it at the beginning of the game, and I've sort of forgotten now. And I've only really used it a few times. So the first big zone that you get to is a titan called Gormot, or Goromot, something like that.
Okay.
And so the titans are huge. It's like a continent. And the only time I've used it is when I wanted to get around that continent a little bit quicker to go back and do side quests that I hadn't finished and things like that.
Okay, because I did look at getting Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Xenoblade Chronicles X, that was it.
X was on the 3DS.
No, that was on the Wii U, wasn't it?
No, that was on the... I think Xenoblade Chronicles was on the Wii U. Xenoblade X was on the Wii. I could be wrong. No, you're right. It was in the Wii U. Xenoblade Chronicles X was on the Wii U.
Yeah. Can't remember whether there was a different Xenoblade game, not a Chronicles game, on the 3DS.
It is a series. Xeno is a series, apparently.
Yes, it is, yeah.
which I didn't know about. This is me. I don't play JRPGs. But I've been really impressed with it. It's awesome.
Oh, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D is probably the one on the 3DS.
Could be. This is something that you would absolutely love, Aaron.
Yes, but I don't have a Switch. I don't plan to have a Switch yet. And I've got Mirage Sessions for the Wii U that I need to start playing. I've not even started playing yet, because when I was going to play it, I didn't have a monitor attached to the Wii U. And I've reorganised the loft now, so I can have a monitor plugged in, but I haven't plugged it in. So that's a task for coming up, is to get the Wii U set up here and play Tokyo Mirage Session.
You should definitely be getting a Switch.
Yeah, it's just paying £300 for a mobile device.
They're coming down though. I've seen loads of offers for them for around £250.
Yeah, I reckon maybe towards the end of the year, I'll think again.
So the thing is, I was skeptical, right? And then obviously I had my phone trade in, which let me get one.
Yeah.
But it is completely wiped out gaming on any other device for me.
Yeah, you see, I don't know whether...
Like, completely.
You see, PC is just it's just where I play all my games now. Everything is on the PC. The PS4 more or less is just a TV device for me.
Right.
And so, I haven't even plugged in the Wii U. The only reason I've got the PS4 plugged in is to watch TV.
But this is my point. Because the Switch is its own self-contained device, and it's got, and it doesn't have many multi-platform games. Do you know, like, okay, there's a lot of indie games on there that are obviously multi-platform. But they're just so much nicer on the Switch because you could just lie in bed and play.
I guess I could, but I could play all those indie games. See, the thing is, I've never been a big Nintendo player.
Okay.
I've never... the Wii was the first Nintendo platform I had. And I had about 5 or 6 games on that. Mm-hmm. I've got about 4 games on the Wii U. And that's it. And one of those games on the Wii U is Minecraft. So, you know, it's a bit limited as to my Nintendo. So, I played a bit of Zelda, Twilight Princess. I've never really played Mario. So, I just don't have the title or the franchise that is...
So, I think in terms of games that I've played on this thing...
Yeah.
You would really enjoy Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battles, which is the XCOM-y style strategy game, but with like a Mario feel. And you would really enjoy Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You would really enjoy Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't have a bar to set, because I could never get into JRPGs on any other platform because they require too much time commitment, and I don't... Do you know what I mean? I don't spend time...
Because I want to spend more time on Persona. Because I've got Persona 5.
Right, but it's on a console.
Yeah.
It's not on a handheld.
But I'm only going to play it in the house. So I may as well play it on the console. My 3DS doesn't get much look in. I'll keep... meaning to do some more. Occasionally I'll play some Picross 3D, but I just don't do mobile gaming. The only time that I see the Switch being useful to me is lunchtime at work, because I could just pop and play it in the canteen area while I had some lunch.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment I'm taking a laptop and just using a laptop. So, I don't know. It would be useful for that. And I'd like to play, you know, I'd like to play, oh, what is it called? The farming thing.
Oh, Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Again, it's on the Switch.
It is. But then I could just play it on my laptop. And I've got JRPGs that will play on my piece.
Play it on the Switch.
I could do, but that means I'm buying a Switch for the sake of playing something I play on a PC.
Yeah, but you could play it in a better way.
I don't know that I could.
I think you could.
I think a mouse and keyboard is fine for me.
I think you would.
Because most of the games on the PC, I play mouse and keyboard. I've got an Xbox controller plugged in.
Same.
I know it's not, but I tend to play it that way. Because I have been a PC gamer since, you know, 486 days. I've always been on the PC. Consoles have always been a secondary thing.
Yeah. I sort of flip between the two, and the Switch has wiped out both. That's all I can say. Like, there is nothing that makes me want to, apart from Tabletop Simulator and Civilization.
You see, I don't know, because I don't think there are There are a few games I'd play on it, but I don't know that there's enough.
I think you would.
I play Minecraft, I play Elite Dangerous, I play...
Yeah. Play Minecraft on the go. The kids would love a Switch.
But no, the problem with the Minecraft on there is it's not proper Minecraft as I play it. I play modern Minecraft, I don't play...
That's because you don't play proper Minecraft.
I play the original Minecraft as it was designed to be
played. Alright, get a Switch for your kids.
No.
Your kids should get you a Switch.
I don't know that playing four games on a 300 quid, 250 quid console seems a bit excessive.
Yeah, but it's not. You've got Metroid coming out, you've got Kirby coming out.
Platform games?
Mario Tennis.
A tennis game?
It's going to be an RPG. Golf Story is another one. It's an RPG. Exclusive to the Switch.
But it's still a... No.
It's an RPG.
It's not. I've got loads of proper RPGs.
This is the How dare you besmirch it?
A sports RPG?
Yes.
No, I've got some silly big RPGs that I can be playing. I've got Tokyo Mirage Sessions I haven't started. I've got Persona 5.
You could be playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
I could be. I could be playing Xenoblade Chronicles X on my Wii U.
Yeah, but no one wants to play on the Wii U.
Why not? It was a good console.
As long as you were 1 meter away from it, it was a good console.
I've sat here in front of my desk.
Yeah, alright. Look, I play more on my Wii U now that I've put the actual handheld in here.
Yeah.
And I'm playing Captain Toad again, but that's it. That's the only game that's worth playing on the Wii U. That's a lie. It's the only game that's worth... There's lots of games on the Wii U, but...
There's, you know, Lego City. Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Lego City is better on the Switch, because you don't have to worry about off-screen play.
Yeah. I have to say, I still haven't played Super... I've got Mario Maker. I still haven't played that.
Didn't get on with this. It taught me one thing, which is that I'm not a games designer. And that it's made me appreciate Mario games even more.
Yeah.
It's the one thing it has done.
Yeah, there's loads of PS4 games I haven't touched. I've just got Farpoint back off of a friend. I lent that out.
Oh, I thought of you the other day. I saw Farpoint Gun with the game for less than 40 quid the other day on Hot Deals.
Okay. I might get the gun at some point, but I don't know.
I feel like once you get down to below 40 quid for an accessory, that's starting to get into reasonable territory. Not quite there.
It is. It's starting to get there, but I don't know. I'll try and... If I like the game on a controller and think, I really, really would like to play this with a gun, then maybe. But I say there's loads of... If it's another shooter game, dozens of those things on the PC now.
Yeah, I tell you what I'm quite surprised at, we're talking about PSVR.
Yeah.
Is that Skyrim hasn't come out yet on the PC.
Yes, I am. I'm quite surprised on that.
Like, I genuinely thought that was going to be like a, you know, couple of months exclusive, and then, oh, look, we're going to launch Skyrim on the Rift tomorrow. Or not on the Rift, because they won't release it on the Rift, will they? On Steam tomorrow.
Well, it'll work on the Rift.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Fallout works on the Rift.
Yes, it does.
I didn't know this.
But I didn't really get into Fallout, so I didn't bother. Skyrim, I might do.
So, yeah, I...
But yeah, I don't know if I'd pay the full price Skyrim again. That seems a bit excessive. They're asking me to pay full price on the PC for Skyrim, which is effectively Vorpex.
Yeah, I mean, you're paying 40 quid for on Fallout VR, it's 40 quid, and it's basically just Fallout 4 with...
With a mod.
Mod. Yeah.
Because... Vorpex does actually... I've played Skyrim with Vorpex, which is a mod that mods other games to work in VR. Because I played Star Citizen with it, and that was terrible.
Again, I think if Fallout 4 was on the Switch, and I know Fallout 4 probably won't run on the Switch, and the Switch would blow up if it tried, but if that sort of game was on there, I think I could get really into it.
I don't know, Skyrim's on there, isn't it?
Is the engine
much better on the?
It is my birthday next week, and Claire keeps badgering me that she wants to get me something, and I'm tempted to ask her for Skyrim on the Switch. Because I never really got to play Skyrim again because it was on the PC. I sort of got in, you know, 6 hours in, something like that.
Yeah, I got quite well. I spent a lot of time in it. I didn't get very far, but I spent a lot of time in it. But I added mods. Again, on the PC. And they were working fine, and then something happened and they stopped working. And now my save won't work right, because...
So my save works, but I'm at a stage where I need to get past a dragon, and I've forgotten how to fight.
Ah, yes.
And it turns out that dragons like fighting.
They do tend to fight quite...
So that's what's killed Skyrim on the PC for me. It's not that I don't like playing it on the PC. I quite enjoy the mouse and keyboard on the PC, but I think I might quite like Skyrim on the Switch. I believe it's got waggly controls for the bow and arrow as well.
Okay.
So if you play it in docked mode, I think you can use the Joy-Cons as sword and shield and all the other bits, which could be quite fun.
Yeah, it could be. It could be almost like Skyrim VR.
It could be, except without the Skyrim VR blurriness that I assume exists.
Apparently, the movement's a bit weird. Because it obviously was on Vorpex. Because there was no teleporting.
I should really work out how to play Skyrim on PC again, shouldn't I?
As
well as Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and Monster Hunter World and Lego City Undercover on the Switch and other sort of epic story games, I've been playing something else, Aaron, that has got... It's got a lesson in there somewhere.
Okay.
Genital jousting.
Oh, story mode. Okay.
Story mode. Ooh. Story mode. You play John.
Okay.
John is a penis. And you're... As far as I can see, you're basically playing through John's existential crisis.
Right.
John is having some sort of mid-penis life crisis, and I seem to be playing through it.
Right.
It had me laughing out loud a lot. Did you ever play...
Okay.
I can't remember what it was called. What was the game where you had the narrator and it narrated what you were doing?
Oh, there's a few of those.
You know the one when you're in the Valve offices? Not Valve offices, but it was a mod of Half-Life. And it was huge a couple of years ago. And I really liked it.
I don't know what you mean.
And I had the achievement for leaving your computer on for like 9 million years or something. I'm gonna have to scroll through my installed list. Who made the beginner's guide? The beginner's guide was made by the same guy.
Stanley Parable.
The Stanley Parable. Thank you. The Stanley Parable. Yes. It's similar to the Stanley Parable, but with penises.
Okay. So, I guess along the lines of Thomas Was Alone as well, then.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Except more like Stanley Parable in that if you do weird stuff, it will alter the narration to match what you're doing.
Okay.
So a bit like Bastion as well from that degree. Yeah, it has been laughing out loud. Don't ask me why. It is better than it should be. Instinctively, I was just assuming it would be like, you know, 20 minute. It's, you know, a light story mode. I certainly have played an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of it so far.
Okay.
And I'm still going. And it's bizarre. I don't know what to say. I mean, the basic premise of General Jousting started off as you try to shag your friend's penises, and the person who shagged the most penises won. Which is weird. And then they sort of released mini games with it, so you had to sort of chase dogs into goals and things like that, and that was all pretty weird but pretty good fun. And then they put the story mode in, which is really good.
Okie dokie.
It's bizarre.
Because Mount Your Friends has got an expansion, a new release, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
3D one.
So Mount Your Friends is... Mount Your Friends is just... Mount Your Friends is what Genital Jousting was when it first released, i.e. it is just mounting your friends. Genital Jousting has then gone on to evolve, whereas I feel like Mount Your Friends has stayed as it was.
I think there are new modes to it, but yes. And it's now in 3D, so you've got a three-dimensional thing. But yeah, it hasn't gone too much further.
Mm.
I believe there are new modes in the new version. I don't know what they are. I haven't had a chance to have a look at them. But...
Basically, you're on a quest for love. That's the best way I could describe it. So you're trying to find love.
Okay. So interesting concept for a.
Yep. Well, you play as a penis in a world of penises.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not that unusual, you know. It's just the fact that in our world, penises aren't alive, and they certainly don't have anuses.
Yes.
And they certainly don't wear suits and go on trips around the world. I had to go and find the Wonders of the World at one point. It's very weird, but very funny, and well worth playing. I've also been playing some mobile gaming.
Okay, what? On
the cellular telephone.
Okay.
I've been playing Paco 2. Do you remember I got really into Paco when I had my Windows phone?
I believe so, yes.
Paco was a driving game. It was like an endless driver and you had to survive, and all these police cars tried to crush you and kill you, and then they released extra levels where it wasn't just police cars, it was tanks and Armageddon and zombies and everything was trying to crush you. So Paco 2 is the same engine, same idea, except you're a getaway driver. So you actually get given an objective to get to, and then when you get to that objective, you get the next objective. But it slowly ramps up in difficulty, so it's a case of seeing how many getaways you can do before you're ultimately destroyed. It plays slightly differently to Paco 1 in that you've got a gun, which automatically fires, so if you're just a bit better than a police car, you'll take out that police car to give yourself a bit more breathing room. That makes a huge difference to the gameplay. And it's all in all a good game. I don't know how much... Well, I don't know what the cost difference is between Paco 1 and Paco 2. But if Paco 1's free, I'd probably just grab Paco 1 and play that. I wouldn't say Paco 2 is essential. If you really enjoy Paco 1, then get Paco 2. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's an isometric, endless driver, with character and spunk. like Genital Jousting. The other game that I played, I can't pronounce. I'm going to pronounce it how I think it's pronounced, but I could be wrong, and then I will spell it.
Okay.
Gorgoa, which is spelt G-O-R-G-O-A. I don't know if it's Gorgoa or Gorgoa. I don't know. Anyway, it's a puzzle game,
yes.
And you have four panels. And each of those four panels can hold various images. Those images happen to be parts of an animation. You can interact with them, i.e. you can zoom in through the window to see the building behind it and then go into that building and down the stairs type thing.
Okay.
And you can use the panel, you can move the panels to overlay on top of each other. So if there is an empty doorway in one panel and a guy standing in a door in the other panel and you put the empty panel on top of the other one, then the guy walks through into the other panel.
Right, okay. So
does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's a bit like the old kids' books where you threaded the caterpillar or the train through the pages and it went through the story.
It's a bit... I guess it's an extension of that frames or whatever it was.
Kind of, yeah.
Where you
kind of
reorganising the frames to make the story. But
yes.
But it's a bit more complicated and a bit more involved than that.
Yes, correct. It's a bit like Framed, except you can overlay stuff on top of each other.
Yeah.
And the basic premise is that you're trying to collect five elemental fires, I think, to fix a dragon that seems to be attacking the world. It was a bit... The story's kind of irrelevant compared to the puzzling. Like, you know, it could have been about finding a fish called Graham that lived at the bottom of a shoe. It doesn't matter. Oh, that would be an awesome game. It doesn't matter. The puzzles themselves are what is... really beautiful. Now, this was premium. I think this was like £2 or something. £2 or £3, maybe even £4.
Okay.
And it wasn't long. I think it probably took me about 3 hours. 3 or 4 hours, maybe, to finish it. So it wasn't, you know, if you're looking for a game that's going to last you a long time. Oh, sorry, I misspelled it earlier. I couldn't even spell it properly earlier. It's Gorogoa. G-O-R-O-G-O-A. And it's by Annapurna, who have released other games.
I was going to say that rings a bell.
Yeah, no, they've released quite big games. Annapurna Interactive, I think it is, isn't it?
I can't remember.
Annapurna Interactive, here you go. What have Annapurna make? They definitely make stuff that you will recognise. What Remains of Edith Finch, there you go.
Ah, okay.
They've done stuff. Wotum, they published. The Artful Escape they're publishing, which is that really cool Xbox One adventure game. They did Kentucky Route Zero.
All right, yeah.
Ashen, again, another Xbox game that's coming out soon. Gorgoa Florence? What does that ring a bell? Is that a VR thing? Don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
So get Gorgoa.
Okay.
It's a fascinating game. It's beautiful art style. People like the soundtrack, but I play games on silent on my phone.
Yes, yeah, so, I do too.
Sorry, soundtrack. But it's meant to be beautiful. As I said, the story's irrelevant. People say it's a beautiful story. Frankly, the story was irrelevant for me. The actual puzzles were what kept me going. How do I do what this game wants me to do? And it was a really, really clever game throughout. And I cannot recommend it heartily enough. It is out on various consoles. I don't think it's just out on mobile.
Okay.
Let me just see if I can...
Probably
I
on could... PC, then.
Let me see. It is on Switch, iOS, and Steam.
Okay, I was going to say, they normally release it on PC.
And I chose to play it on iOS rather than Switch because it was a couple of quid on iOS and it was £12 on the Switch.
I know, yeah.
And I think it's the same on Steam. I think it's also quite punchy on Steam. It's one of those weird ones where mobile, for some reason, they assume that people won't pay on mobile.
Well, yeah. Paying.
I say assume. I think they're sensible that people won't pay on mobile because people are like me, and they go to mobile because it's cheaper. So yeah, Gorogoa on Steam is £11.39, so worth playing on your on your mobile cellular device.
iPhone that I don't have.
You got an Apple tablet?
I don't. Well, the kids have a tablet.
Just play it an evening. Like,
yeah, I guess
you will not be playing it for very long. Hmm. So I would, yeah, I would just play it on the iPad. It's not one you're going to revisit, put it that way. Because once you've done the puzzle, you know how it worked.
Okay.
Like, it's only clever the first time. The other thing that I haven't mentioned about the panes is that in addition to being able to layer them on top of each other, they can also interact with each other. So if you put one pane on top of another or one pane next to each other and they're the same type of thing, they'll sort of blend into each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you can create like a diorama. One of the earlier puzzles in the game involves getting a apple to go into a bowl, and you build that diorama out of three panels and things like that.
Okay. Sounds quite interesting. I'll have to have a look.
I'm just having a look on Steam what the reviews are. The reviews are overwhelmingly positive from over 2,000 reviews.
Okay. That's not bad for a 12 quid game that you say only lasts a couple of hours.
Yeah, it really is only a couple of hours. It's not... I wonder if it's on How Long to Beat. But it's... Yeah, it's one of those games... I would almost say it's essential. If you've got any sort of interest in game design. There you go, 2 hours is what people are saying to play. On How Long to Beat, 49 polled. 62 all play styles. Median, 1 hour 44, rush, 1 hour 20, leisure, 2 hours and 53 minutes. So I was obviously playing at leisure mode. Yeah. Do it. I really can't recommend it enough. It's beautiful and it deserves to win an award for its design. Really, really impressive. The next thing I'm going to try is a random game called Genesis Noir, which is currently on Kickstarter. But you can play the prologue, so the teaser version of it, over at teaser.genesisnoirgame.com. That is literally next on my list of things to play. I've got the browser window ready for when I kick you off the show. I don't have any significant news.
Depends when I'm releasing this to whether there's any news I can give at the moment. Okay, I'm going to release this tomorrow lunchtime because that's when the embargo's up. Let me just get the email. Fear Effect Sedna has a release date.
What does?
Fear Effect Sedna. It's one of the
what
things.
What is Fear Effect Sedna?
We interviewed the guys at EGX last year.
Okay.
And the 360 video's up on YouTube, as your YouTube channel. It's a continuation of a series. It's sort of a strategy puzzler sort of adventure game. Think Incredible Inc. Where you click around and tell people to go where in your team. So it's one of those. So you basically get your team to move around, and there's a story. It's all story based. It's quite a good game, from all accounts. And if I wasn't on work, that'd be dead handy. No, that's still work. Where did I swap? No, that's my account. All accounts. I am now having real trouble using email. Where is the Loopcaster's email account? I've got it on.
It's on Hotmail.
Yes, I know, but which mail app have I got it on
oh,
this
I don't
phone
know.
Is the question.
I don't know, Aaron. I'm not.
But I believe it's the 20th of March.
Is it
there
now?
We go. It is, in fact. No, that's the
oh, what is this?
There.
Rezzed?
We just got a press release from Square Enix.
I know, Rez is the 13th, 15th.
So... Okay, February the 13th, that is tomorrow. That's just when the embargo's up. So that's when this will be released. And, yeah, it's... March the 6th. Available on Switch, PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
What's this?
Fear Effect Sedna.
On what? The Switch, did you say?
I did say the Switch.
Jolly good, because the Switch is the best console ever made.
So, yeah, so I've kickstarted it, so I should be getting it on PC.
Oh, nice. If they give you a free Switch version.
They won't be, because they said they wouldn't. They said they couldn't do that.
No, Nintendo don't give out review code stuff, do they?
No.
They don't build it into their system.
It was a stretch goal on their thing, but yeah, they couldn't. I don't know whether you could upgrade to a Switch version. But obviously I didn't, because I don't have a Switch and didn't plan to get a Switch.
Yeah, well, you know my views on that one.
I know.
You should get a Switch.
I'm fine. Yes.
And on that bombshell that Aaron is going to get a Switch. Get a Switch.
No, it's not happening. It may happen towards the end of the year, but who knows.
Boys and girls, we'll see you next week. Aaron, get a Switch.
No.
Get a Switch.
Bye.
Get a Switch.
Bye.